bless God today. Listen, we're going to allow the children and the youth to chill with their families today. Amen. I believe that on special days like this that families should be together. And we were going to do some honoring of the youth, but today we wouldn't have done that on Mother's Day, so we're not going to do that on Father's Day. Amen. Amen. We ain't got a certificate one to give to the men, but it is the Father's Day, and so we will celebrate all of our graduates Sunday, this Sunday coming, and we thank God for you guys understanding. Amen. Today, sir, it's good to see you. It's good to see Brother Reuben in the house. Amen. Amen. Him and his precious wife. I think that Christy's in the nursery. Amen. And you can let her know she can come out anytime. That baby's our baby. She can make all the noise she wants to. Amen. Amen. Also glad to see my daughter in the house today. Amen. Amen. I'm just prophesying it to my soon-to-be son-in-law. Amen. Eli's in the house. Amen. You better clap. Amen. Amen. I'm prophesying that. Amen. And just glad to have everybody in the house of the Lord today. Samantha's in the house today. Amen. I am sorry. The last time you was here, it was your anniversary. And how do I, who married you, forget that it was your? I am so sorry. So happy belated anniversary. And Amen. Amen. Oh, marriage ain't easy. Amen. Marriage is not easy. All right. So I want to talk to you from a message that I actually wrote. I was in the process of writing a message this morning, and I was going back and looking at the different notes and on a previous Father's Day message. And as I began to just look at the notes of it, I was like, ooh, this is good. Amen. And it's funny that I think it's actually prophetic that Reuben is here today, because he actually birthed this sermon. But before I could go any further, let's give God a hand clap of praise that our homeboy Mike Crump is in the house. Amen. Sister Melissa, amen. Yeah, yeah. We praise God, have our brother back, and Sister Melissa is in the house today, and we thank God for y'all. Amen. And we thank God for you sticking by him. Amen. Amen. See, people ain't got no felonies, don't understand how important that is. Huh? Yeah, that ain't no easy thing to do. Amen. So we bless God to see them in the house. Amen. So as I was saying, this sermon that I'm about to do, I had written it a couple of years ago, and it all was birthed off of a statement that Brother Reuben had made at our Father's Day luncheon. Amen. John Michael Green, a famous American author, once wrote one of the most powerful quotes that I have ever read on the subject of fatherhood, and I would like to share it with you today. Mr. Green said, and I quote, "The nature of impending fatherhood is that you are doing something that you are unqualified to do, and then you become qualified while doing it." Yeah, end quote. And I love this quote because within that quote, it gives a subtle grace to the father that realizes he doesn't have all the answers, but is still determined to be the best father that he can be. Though oft times he has not been properly trained to do so. A couple of years back, as I was just saying, at a Father's Day luncheon, I remember Brother Reuben bringing up being determined to live his life for Christ. And while I understood what Reuben was saying, the Holy Spirit began to download something into my spirit. And the Holy Spirit said to me that we can be determined until the key factors in which whatever you are determined about rise up against you in such a way that despite how determined you are, it remains impossible. Case in point, you can have a child whom you love dearly. However, after all of the consequences of living a life of selfishness has set in, it can one day take a toll on your relationship. and due to things that may have just been called just living, may have rubbed your child the wrong way. Despite our determination, we have not been able to win their love back. And though our determination may be strong to be in their life, the problem is not our determination. The problem is connected to me. It is connected to my will, my strength, my feelings. And if my feelings aren't bulletproof, and they're not, eventually their rejection of our attempts to heal us will inevitably wear us down. It will wear the will down. It can be a heavy thing for a man who has always loved his children but lacked proper training on how to raise children. Because of the pain that he has caused the child in the past, oftentimes the child cannot receive the dad's "I'm sorry." Because the dad's "I'm sorry" is constantly being drowned out by the child's pain. By the stories that they've heard from family members who feel some type of way towards the father. And the stories could very well have been true. In most instances, it was. But the question is, why is there or was there a reason to share the worst of me when you knew that it would enrage and shift the child's mindset when it comes to me? Lord, have mercy. And if I can just go ahead and speak for every man in the building, every father in the building who happens to carry the precious title of father, but has to admit that I haven't always been who I am right now. And I've dropped the ball more than I care to admit. And I have failed my children more than a few times. And there's been times in my life that I have mishandled my children to such a way that I had to ask my own self, what is wrong? What's wrong with you? Is it any fathers that understand where I'm coming from today? That we like to tell the side of where we are now, but there was a side where we weren't there at that time, and as a consequence, instead of having children, we made victims. If it's okay with my fellow fathers in the building, I would like to say to all of our children, especially the ones that still harbor secret emotions, especially the ones deep down that can't stand having to be in our presence, we are sorry. If I got any fathers that understand me, I just dare you to say amen. We are sorry. We didn't mean to let you down. We didn't mean to break your heart. We didn't mean to not keep our word. And I know we can't change the past. And I know there's some things that you won't forget. But our prayer is that you understand that we are not who we used to be. And though we may not be perfect even now, we're doing the best we can. Woo! Mr. Green said the nature of impending fatherhood is that you are doing something that you are unqualified to do, and then you become qualified while doing it, end quote. This quote just blows my mind, because when it comes to walking into fatherhood, we are so unqualified, and it doesn't really matter if you had a father that was a father of the year type or a deadbeat dad. Both are still unqualified, because you will see things that your father didn't see. Us fathers today are challenged, Lord have mercy. Us fathers today are challenged with things that our fathers weren't. We're raising children in a Google era, Lord have mercy, in a Google era. And so instead of our children coming to us for understanding, they go to a computer, and contingent upon whose idea on the subject they gravitated to will determine how much we are going to disagree on the subject and the points that they have adopted. Today, my brothers, we are living in times where we, regardless to if we have money or if we're broke, there is one thing that you can give your children that will bless their lives forever. And if you will sneak into a conversation with me that King Solomon was having with his own son, and fathers, I believe that if you can impart this conversation into your children, you have done your job as a father. Amen. If you can get your kids to tap into this, you've done your job. You've done your job as a father. The book of Proverbs, chapter 3, verses 5-7, very powerful verses, very popular but powerful verses. And the Bible says, trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not to your own understanding. And in all your ways, acknowledge him and he shall direct your paths. Watch this. Do not be wise in your own eyes. Fear the Lord and depart from evil. Solomon, the wisest and most wealthy king to ever rule, sits his son down and he drops jewels on him that if he receives the instructions, it will bless him for life. He says to him, now, son, when times get hard, and they will, when money gets funny, and it will, when friends get funny style, and I promise you, they will, when your education doesn't have the answers for many of life's struggles, when folk aren't answering the phone when you need them to, he says, there's some jewels that I want you to keep close to your heart that will guide you through every season of your life. And he says, trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not to your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge him, and he shall direct your paths. Hold on, let me back that thing up and deal with that again. He said, trust in the Lord with all your heart, and lean not unto your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge him, and he shall direct your paths. Solomon says, son, here's the formula to get through life when everything is going crazy around you. And he gives him about three good points. He says, the first point he makes is, I need you to trust in the Lord with all of your heart. And if I could just park right there for a second, that's what we all need to do. First is learn from the beginning to trust God with all of our heart. Put your confidence in God. Hang your hope on the Lord. Have faith in God, Solomon says. Son, if you want to make it through life, despite what's coming up against you, you're going to have to trust in God. Now, fathers, I want you to catch this. When Solomon tells his son to trust God with all of his heart, he is also saying that means don't trust in anything else. All means carry the one. All. He says, I want you to trust in God with all your heart. In fact, he goes further down in different chapters and he says, and do not put your trust in men. Lord, have mercy. Don't trust in friends because friends will let you down. Don't trust in money because money won't solve every issue. And don't trust in power because folk can get power and go crazy. Don't trust in education because the old math will turn into new math and you will find out you don't know what you're doing. Amen? How many of our fathers have realized the old math and the new math? The old math was saved. This new math is demonic. You got closer to family because everybody called a smart one in the family when you can handle social studies, you can handle history, you can handle science, but when it comes to that math, I'd be like, call your sister. Look, I'm busy. No matter how smart you feel, that new math have you feeling some type of way about yourself. Amen? Listen, Lord, have mercy. Solomon wants his son to understand that no matter how educated you are, no matter how much money you have in the bank, no matter how much money people are offering you, no matter what the position is that you hold in the company, life will push you to a place that everything and everyone that you counted on will fail you. There are going to be some that Maverick City calls God problems. There's going to be some problems in your life that you can only hand to God. You can't study your way out of it. You can't fight your way out of it. You can't spend your way out of it. Some of these problems, you're going to only hand to God. Life and everything that you ever counted on will fail you. He's telling him, son, in fact, let me just ask the question. Is it anyone in the building that will agree that if you have lived long enough, friends will leave you for dead? Can anybody talk to me in here? If you've lived long enough, family will stab you in the back. Oh, God. If you live long enough, you'll find out that your last name don't hold the power to shift everything like you thought it would. Is it anybody that knows what I'm talking about today? I think about Steve Jobs, the founder and CEO of Apple, at the time was worth $13 billion. Yet the cancer hit his body and none of that $13 billion could save him. Robin Williams, one of the greatest comedian and actors of all time, was worth $50 million at the time of his death, but depression was bigger than his net worth, and he hung himself as a consequence. And I believe that there are some people in the building today that know what I'm talking about. You have lived life a little bit and found out that the things and the people that you thought you could stand on, despite whatever may come your way, ultimately failed you. And you had to learn the hard way that if it had not been for the Lord who was on my side, oh God. I ain't talking, if you ain't been through nothing, I ain't talking to you. And if you've been the perfect daddy, I ain't talking to you, daddy. But if you've been through some hell, if you've dropped the ball, if you've let your own down a time or two, I come to tell you, those are God problems. God problems. Fathers, I want to encourage you to encourage your children to get that diploma. Fathers, I want to encourage you to encourage your children to get that degree. Fathers, I want to encourage you to encourage your children to start that family and get that career that affords you the good life. But above all that, fathers, I want you to be intentional about making sure that your kids trust God more than anything, because he will never fail them and he will never leave them and he will never forsake them. Fathers, I'm encouraging you to encourage your children. Encourage your children in the Lord. Fathers, I need you to understand why it's so important for you to teach your children what it means to trust in the Lord. See, when you trust in the Lord, no matter how crazy life gets, there are some options that you don't have to ever pursue. I'm gonna say that again. When you trust in the Lord, no matter how crazy it gets, there's some options that you don't ever have to pursue. And Satan for years has told us that there, you know, I know it's hard out here and I know you ain't got enough for the rent and I know you ain't able to dress your babies like you want to, but don't worry about that because I got some options. Lord, have mercy. See, despite how rough it gets, if your children know that if God is on their side, then God is all they need, so they don't have to sell dope to get bills paid. God has more than enough. When your daughters are taught to trust in the Lord, they understand that they don't have to hit nobody's pole or sleep with a baller to get what they need, because they understand that my God shall supply all of my needs according to his riches and glory. Fathers, you got to have a conversation with your children. Whew. So Solomon, first Solomon tells his son to trust in God. Secondly, he tells his son, he says, now look here, son, don't lean on your own intellect, or don't lean on your own understanding. I know you did good in school. I know you made better grades than me, but son, what I really need you to understand is life is going to happen, and the worst thing that you can do in the midst of life happening is try to figure this thing out on your own. Lord, have mercy. He says, I don't want you to trust your own understanding, because every now and again, life can happen and you can see things the wrong way. Anybody ever done that in here, or am I by myself? I take 96% of my conversations to prayer, before I even say a word, because I've learned that just because I perceived it that way don't mean that it was shot that way. Woo. And the Bible says, with all your getting, get a what? And then thirdly, he tells his son to acknowledge God in all of his ways. You get that, fathers? Acknowledge. He tells his son, acknowledge him in all of his ways. Brandon, he means everything you do. Acknowledge God. Oh, Lord. Over in the New Testament, we find Peter saying the same thing. In fact, 1 Peter 5, chapter 5, verse number 8 says, cast all your cares upon him, for he cares about you. Mm-hmm. Cast all your cares upon him, for he cares about you. In both verses, we find the key word is all. Solomon is saying to his child, don't you say yes, no, or maybe until you have acknowledged God. Did you hear that? Don't you say yes, no, or maybe until you have acknowledged God. May I suggest that this would stop a whole lot of craziness in the earth realm if we would teach our children that before they say yes, no, or maybe, they consult God. Why? Because sometimes Satan will put a deal before them that makes it look like it had to be from God. And then the next thing you know, that supposed gift from God, we find out was from a demonic place, and now it's ripping your child out the frame. There's treasure in seeking God in all your ways. The Bible says, Jesus said in the Bible, in fact, he says that when the Holy Spirit comes, he will lead you into all truth. Baby, you know what that means? He says that when the Holy Spirit comes, he's never going to take you down the wrong path. He's never going to lead you astray. You're never going to come up short when the Holy Spirit is leading you. This is why it's important that we get back to the things of teaching our kids. Listen here, before you go out to play, I know you did your homework, but recite me that scripture. Why in the world would you think what man got to teach your child is more important than what God got to teach your child? It won't be calculus that stops him from popping a pistol. It'll be the word of God. It won't be geometry that keeps baby girl's skirt up. It'll be the word of God. Do you understand what I'm saying to you? It won't be physics. Oh Lord, have mercy. That stops this young man from killing this young man over something that neither one of them own. It will be the word of God. You've got to teach your children to acknowledge God in all their ways. One of the things that I never want to die doing. My wife knows this. I sit in my office or my cave and I write keepsakes. I've got about that thick of notes for Maya, for Jordan, for Noah, for Malachi. And they're not just, here's a book for y'all. I've got their names on it. I got the dates that I wrote it down and the time it was. The mood I was in so that he could understand. You understand what I'm saying to you? See, you've got to leave something other than mess. And I got to thinking about, you know, because, you know, I said this the other day. I was preaching somewhere. I don't know where I was at. Greater New Hope. And I said, the older that I get here lately, I think about dying more. I think about dying. And I'm not, like, scared or anything like that. But I don't know about any of you fathers, but when I die, I want to leave legacy. You understand what I'm saying to you? I want everything that I've done up until I die to overshadow everything I did before Christ. You understand what I'm saying to you? So that when my haters say, you know he used to do this, somebody can come back and say, yeah, but did you remember he started doing that? You understand what I'm saying to y'all? I'm looking for legacy. My name's important now. It used to didn't be important. In fact, I switched my whole name out. You understand what I'm saying to you? Had teachers and principals calling me a name that was not my God-given name. But now my name, fathers, do you know what I'm talking about? My name's important now. I want my children to be able to walk into a situation and say, I might not have it, but I'm a Lions. And on the strength of the relationship that I garner with God, you understand what I'm saying to you? They're going to say, well, look here, we can work it out. We can just make it happen. You understand what I'm saying to you? In fact, it was like the family in Luke chapter 15, where when the man came back, the prodigal son came back to his father, and the father gave him a robe and he gave him a ring. And all the son had to do was show the ring, and it was credit. I don't know about none of y'all, but I'm working to where all my kids got to do was show the ring. They can have it. You understand what I'm saying to you? And so he says this. He says, I want you to cast all your cares on him because he cares about you. And the main word is all. I'm going to say it again. Don't you take a job. Don't you get married. Buy that house until you have acknowledged God. And there is a promise connected to that bit of wisdom that when you acknowledge God, he will direct your steps every step of the way. I want to share this last quote with you and then we're done. The author said, he said, my father didn't tell me how to live. He lived and he let me watch him do it. My father didn't tell me how to live. He lived and he let me watch him do it. And when I first read that quote, I thought to myself, if my kids watched me live, I didn't do them no favors. Any men or fathers in the building feel like that? Do you remember when you used to have to say stuff like, look here, you can be like anybody but me. I want you to go be a lawyer. I want you to go be a doctor. I want you to go be, but don't you be what I am. Lord, have mercy. And when you begin to think about that, the reason that you don't want them to be like you was, truth be told, you was lightweight, ashamed of what you had become. Is it any fathers in the building just be real enough to clap your hands and say, yeah, I admit that. I was lightweight, ashamed of how I was. But you know, you can admit, I haven't always been good. I didn't always do the right thing. And there's some things that you've seen that you probably shouldn't have. But fathers, can I play a part in lifting up your spirit today? Because the Apostle Paul said in 2 Corinthians 5:17, therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creation. Old things have passed away, and all things have become new. And so now when I didn't really want you to be like me, on the strength of who I bought into, I really don't mind you being like me now. I don't want you to be like the me that I was, but I ain't got a problem with you being the me that I've become. Fathers, it's time to get planted, replanted back in the lives of our children. It's time to set our children down and have the hard talk. Listen, I know you've grown. I know you handle your business. I understand all of that, but there's some things that you need to know. Do you understand what I'm saying to you? Lord, have mercy. Because life is going to come. You know, my son and I were texting on the way to church. His birthday's today, and we was just running it back and forth and to each other, just talking crazy, each other like we always do. And I said, well, listen, man, I made it to your age, but you make it to 53. Because I promise you, somewhere in the 30s, your mindset gonna shift. And it ain't cause you fickled, it's because life is real. You understand what I'm saying to you? And then I promise you that once you get settled down in them 30s, the 40s are gonna hit. And no matter how much right you got about you, watch this, them 40s gonna make you change the game. Oh God, y'all don't hear me in here. And then around 50, watch this, you gonna try to get out of bed and all of a sudden things ain't gonna cooperate with you. And So it's important. Where's Callie? Come here, Callie. It's important. Where's your son? Where's baby boy at? Come here. Get over to your daddy. Get over to your daddy. Stephen, put your arm around Stephen. Eli, put your arm around your son. It's going to be important that you look him in the eyes and say, you're going to need to eat right. Oh, God. It's going to be some times that you're going to need, you're going to go through some sickness in your body, and you're going to be able to trace it back and say, well, maybe if I hadn't ate all that. So, son, let me tell you, pizza's good, but broccoli's good for you. Listen, there's going to be, you're going to have to talk to your daughters, fathers. You're going to have to talk to your daughters, and you're going to have to tell them, look, I know they done told you that your worth is in your shape, and your worth is in your look, and your worth is in your hips, but baby. I promise you, it's all game. I promise you. In fact, baby, if you'll just shoot me the texts of what they say to you, I'll shoot you back what you should say, and I'll tell you also what they gonna say on the strength of that. And when they say that, bounce, cause you just seen the wolves in sheep's clothing. You're gonna have to tell them, huh? Fathers, you're gonna have to tell them daughters, baby, you ain't gonna always look like this. So you're going to have to, when you're looking for a suitor, that's old school, when you're looking for a mate, when you're looking for somebody that you're going to, your boo, your bae, that you're going to spend your life with, what you need to make sure of, baby girl, is that they not shallow. Because if you don't look like at 35 what you look like at 25, you probably going to get cheated on. Fathers, you have got to get in the ear of your children. And watch this, because we have, and I got this problem when they say stuff like, it's fatherless home, or what do they call it? No daddy. No, they got a daddy. He just didn't do his job. And so he's an absentee father. Absentee father. You understand what I'm saying to you? And so because we have so many absentee fathers, are y'all ready for this? In 2012, there was 25 million kids living in a home without a father. Let's take it deeper. 2 months ago, I was at the Lexington, LTMS. And I'm on a panel now of pastors that we are trying to put God back in the school and then be here for the fatherless children. You ready for this? At LTMS, 98% of the households do not have a father in them. They say statistically, when dealing with statistics, that anything that is 95%, you consider it to be 100. 98% of the fathers are not in the home. So guess what? That means that 98% right here in Lexington, we've got 98% of households with children that's going to try to figure it out on their own. Watch this. Can I just be real about it? We got 98%. Out of that 98%, 62% of those families, mama's still trying to find that boo or that bae, and she really ain't paying a whole lot of attention to the child. So now the child is actually in worse shape. So watch this. So fathers, you got to be game tight, because some of you fathers, like me, are grandfathers. And you're going to have your babies with you sometime. And you're going to know, you got to know what to turn off the TV. When they enter, see, when the babies walk in the house, the whole house shift. Lord, have mercy. Yeah, everything PG up in here. Everything G. You understand what I'm saying to you? So fathers, you are going to graduate to be grandfathers. And as much influence as the father has with the child, granddaddy's something special. That's real talk. Am I talking right, Sonia? Granddaddy's something special. I've come to learn
that some of these kids don't need their daddy or their granddaddy in their life. It'd be worse. But us fathers, we have to draw the line in the sand and say, this is my lineage. You hear me? Oh, God. You hear me, Atlantis? You don't have children. You have a lineage. You hear me, Stephen? You have a lineage. You have a bloodline. A bloodline. Reuben, you have a bloodline. Kenneth, you've got a bloodline. You've got a bloodline. Do you understand what I'm saying to you? You've got a bloodline. You let that sink in. You've got a bloodline. And when they ain't doing well, you ought to be so connected. It ain't doing well with you. You hear me? So sometimes I get calls and I'll be like, oh, so that was what was up. You got a bloodline. Anybody can make a baby. But it takes a man. Hey! It takes a man. And let me say this in closing. Don't you judge how well you're doing off somebody else. Because some of y'all got that spirit, you know, well, at least I wasn't like my daddy. That don't mean that you know better, though. The Bible says, look to me who is the author and finisher of your faith. If you want to know how you're doing as a father, don't ask me. Don't even ask your kids, because contingent upon their mood, you can get a different answer. But don't you ask your kids how you doing, and you done said they can't do this or that. Lord, help us. But if you want to know how you're doing, seek biblical answers. What does the Bible say about fatherhood? And am I living up to that? And if I'm not, my Gigi used to say, the road to hell is paved with good intentions. If I'm not raising my children up in Christ, teaching them the firm foundation, nothing else matters. Amen. Buddy, can you play the soft music? Listen, this altar call today is special because we have a men's group and we talk a lot about many various things. We're in a season where men are hurting. We're in a season where sometimes it's just hard to look in the mirror despite how hard we try. So today, if you're one of those fathers that's declaring, I might not be the best, but I'm doing the best I can. I know down the street, across the street, they daddy got it going on. It just ain't where I'm at right now, but I'm doing the best I can. I want you to come on down if that's your cry today. I haven't been the best, but I promise I'm going to be better. I ain't going to always get it all right. In fact, more times than I care to admit, I'm going to fail. But I'm doing the best I can. If sometimes you look in your children's eyes and you have to wonder, what do you really think about me? Knowing that the answer, if not the answer you want to hear, could break you into pieces. Today I want to offer an altar call to those that are unqualified to do what they've been called to do, but will become qualified will become qualified while doing it.